Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we know that there's many who are not feeling well, there's sicknesses and everything else going around, and Lord, we lift up each one of these people, Father, that they may just feel better soon, that they may have your healing touch inside of that moment. Lord, I thank you for each person that is here, and for those who are still on the way. Lord, we ask that you just bring us peace, and that whatever we're holding on to this morning, that we can just put it at the foot of the cross and remembering that you are King and you are Lord. Lord, we lift up our nation, our local, our state, and our federal government. Lord, we pray for them. Pray that they may seek you. They may seek your wisdom. Father, that we may have unity as a nation once again. In Jesus' name.
Stand and praise.
Hey!
this is the my three time, the time that we set aside to pray for others. And this week I was reading, and in Luke 15, it says, I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. That heaven rejoices, and there is a celebration when someone comes to Jesus. And that's why we have the my three. Is that we have set aside time to lift up those who don't know Jesus, that they may come in relationship with him. Because we're not the ones who save anyone, are we? It's Jesus who does the work. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And what we're called to do is to lift up each of these people and hand them over to Christ and let him do the new work in them. So what I want us to do this morning is I want us to think through those three people in your life that don't know Jesus, that you know that could use Jesus. And I want you to just think about them and pray for them and give them over to Jesus at this time. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy and your grace. And Father, we just want to take a moment and lift up those around us who don't know you. Father, that they may come into relationship with you. Father, that they may not just have a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge of who you are. Lord, we lift them over to you, knowing you're the one who can make them new again, where they can find their peace and they can find their joy. Father, we know you celebrate with us each and every time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just continue to worship. Thank you.
7:24-27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse, because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash.
Never let me down. He's faithful through just.
good to be here this morning. I want to welcome everybody that's here this morning. I also want to welcome our guests that are here with us this morning and those joining us online on the radio. We're very thankful for you to be here. And as we prepare to dive into God's word this morning, though, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we just give it to you. We know that you don't fail. We know that you're right there with us. Lord, I ask that this morning it's your words that are spoken and not mine. And Father, if I say anything of you, anything that's not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Father, I ask, though, if it's your words, that it may penetrate even the hardest of hearts, that we may grow in knowledge and understanding of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, last week we took a pause from our Life of Christ series that we've been in for a while, and instead, what we did is we looked at the mission statement of the Mount Carroll Church of God and what our mission is here at this church into our community. But this week we're going to go back to the Life of Christ series, where we'll be over in John chapter 7, verses 25 to 36, for anyone who wants to follow along. The message this morning is entitled, "Who is this man?" And I kind of want to set the stage for where we're at today. You know, the last time that we were in this series, we took a look at Jesus heading off to the Festival of Shelters. And this is one of those large festivals that the Jews celebrate each and every year. It's one where they would go out and they would spend time. They would head to Jerusalem and they'd go out into the desert and they would literally pitch tents and live in the desert for a week. And then throughout that week, they would head back and forth into Jerusalem and they would go in for festivities, but they would go back out. And the entire purpose of this festival is a reminder of how God provided for them over the 40 years in the desert. That God did not fail them any of that time, but he provided each and every step. And anybody who was anybody would be at this event. All the prominent rabbis were there, all the prominent leaders, everybody was there at this event. So when the time came to go to the festival, here we see Jesus' own brothers approach him, and they asked him if he was going. And Jesus said, "Not yet. My time has not yet come." You see, there were many there that were looking for Jesus. And some of them were looking for Jesus for all the wrong reasons. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to see his life come to an end. Now, don't get me wrong, there's also many there that were fans of Jesus. There were many there that wanted to hear him speak, and they wanted to witness a miracle or two if they could. And as his brothers did, as brothers do, they picked on Jesus when he said he's not going right away. That really did have to be an interesting time being Jesus' brothers. I'm just throwing that. I can't even imagine. I can see Mary already. Why can't you be more like Jesus? But see, they understood that Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. But the thing is that they had the wrong idea of what and who the Messiah was. And they tried to convince him that if he really wanted to be somebody, if he really wanted to be this public leader, this Messiah that he claimed, that he had to be there. And Jesus said, "My time had not yet come." And though Jesus didn't go to the festival right away, it does tell us in the text that Jesus showed up about halfway through. He quietly went there. And when he went there, he went to the temple and he began to teach. And as Jesus was teaching them, they were all amazed by his words and they were amazed by how he was teaching. And here he was pushing back against the religious leaders of the day. And he did this over and over. And he reminded them that they should not judge a person according to the outward appearance, and rather they are to judge according to God's standards. And God judges according to the heart and the inwardness of a person, not what the outside looks like. And he was encouraging them to start seeing people as God sees them, to not just rely on their own understandings, but to look to Christ, that man's standards are not the same as God's standards. Well, as you can imagine, as Jesus is saying that and talking back against the Pharisees and religious leaders, all of that, this didn't sit well with them. This upset them. This frustrated them. And there seemed to be some confusion in the audience even of what to think of Jesus inside of this moment. There seemed to be this confusion of Jesus. And throughout our text today, we're going to see the crowd is grappling with the identity of who Jesus is. And they're even questioning his authority and his origins and where he came from, trying to figure out what and who is Jesus and what to think of him. You know, that's nothing new. Even today, we have this tension between public perception of who Jesus is and the truth of Jesus, do we not? Often this perception of Jesus comes out of this desire of who we want Jesus to be. And you know, someone asked you, who is Jesus? How would you answer them? If someone came up to you today and asked you, who is Jesus? How would you answer them inside of that moment? You know, if we were asked the world around us, who is Jesus? We would get a mixed bag of answers, wouldn't we? You know, most of the world nowadays will acknowledge that Jesus was a real person, that he lived over 2,000 years ago, that Jesus was somebody who walked this earth and all of that. There's too much evidence out there to dispute it. The disconnect often comes between people who start talking about Jesus' full identity and who Jesus fully is. You know, almost every world religion teaches that Jesus was at least a prophet. That he was at least a prophet, that he was a man. The minimum, most religions say that Jesus was a good moral person for us to look to. Some say that he was a teacher, and a lot more say he was a prophet, yet over and over again, they miss the fact that Jesus was Lord. The Bible teaches us that Jesus was so much more. He was more than a prophet, he was more than a good teacher, and he was more than a godly man. He was God himself. He was the promised Messiah. And just as people today wrestle with the question of who Jesus is, the people back in Jesus' day often wrestle with that same question over and over again. In fact, as we dive into our passage this morning, we find something interesting when we read verses 25 and 26. And it says, some of the people in Jerusalem were saying, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Yet look, he's speaking publicly and they're saying nothing to him. Can it be true that the authorities know that he's the Messiah? You see, it was no secret that the religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus. This is something that the people were very well aware of. Their hatred and anger towards Jesus was not kept quiet. In fact, if someone spoke up and tried to speak positively of Jesus or defend him, they often would find themselves persecuted by the religious leaders. They could be kicked out of the synagogue. They'd be banned from coming from any event. They wouldn't be allowed to go make offerings and sacrifices. They wouldn't be allowed to be around the people at all. And this would have been devastating for anyone to not be allowed to go and worship and make those sacrifices. Yet here in the synagogue, they see the man that the Jewish leadership had been trying to get killed. They've been trying to persecute. And he was standing in front of them and he was teaching. And he was preaching. And they were trying to figure out what in the world is going on. They were trying to figure out why. And since they didn't see Jesus being shut down inside of that moment and being allowed to speak, mine started to wonder, could this be the Messiah? The people there started to question, could this be the person that Isaiah wrote about? Could this be the person that was promised out of the lineage of David? Is this why they're letting him speak in this moment? Because they know that he is really the Messiah. And this led confusion to the people. And rightfully so, we would be confused as well, right? If we've been told that someone is bad over and over again, and then we heard them speaking in church, how would we take that? If we were told that that person shouldn't be listened to, and then we let him in, we would be confused as they were. And in fact, many of us today can get confused on who Jesus is when we start listening to the world around us, just as they were. We start wondering, was Jesus a good teacher? Was Jesus a prophet? Was Jesus a good moral person? Or was Jesus God himself? And many of us, before we come to Jesus, we can find ourselves wrestling with these questions, trying to understand all of it. Because many of us walk walk in and would search of who God is with this perceived notion of who we want him to be. I want to reword that. You know, many of us, when we start searching for God, when we start searching for Jesus, what do? We have these preconceived notions in our mind of who God is. We have these preconceived notions in our mind on who we want God to be. We have these lists of wants and desires of what we want from God. We have our own way that we want God to respond to us. Even when those don't line up with what scriptures tell us, even when those things don't line up with history tells us, we have our own wants and desires of who we want God to be. Especially often when we first start searching for God. And this same concept was something that the Jewish leadership and the Jewish people of their day also had. They had this preconceived notion of who they wanted the Messiah to be. They had this preconceived notion of what they wanted from the Messiah. And often these notions didn't actually line up with what Scripture taught them, what the text that they had held to so closely had taught them. It sounded good in their hearts and minds, just like it often sounds good to us on what we want from Jesus and how we want to perceive God. It often sounds good. But we forget Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is more deceitful than anything else. That is incurable. Who can understand it? You know, we've all grown up with that phrase, right? Just follow your heart. How many of you heard that over and over again? Just follow your heart. But the truth is, we're not called to follow our heart. We're called to follow God. We're called to follow his wisdom. Because our hearts will often fail us and mislead us. That's why it says that Jesus gives us a new heart, a new mind. We're renewed through the Spirit. And that he transforms us from the inside out. So that we don't get caught up in these misconceptions about God. And in John 7, verses 27, we see the misconceptions that the people had at the time. Here's one of them. But we know that they're where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, nobody will know where he is from. You see, the people believe that they knew where Jesus came from. They believe that he was a Nazarene from Nazareth, which is where Jesus did grow up. But because they thought they knew some little things about Jesus, they thought they understood who he was. They didn't see him as the Messiah. Instead, they saw him as a man. They saw him as a neighbor. They saw him as a carpenter. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know the whole story. They just knew little bits and pieces. You see, they didn't understand that he came from God. They didn't know that he was born of a virgin. They didn't know that the angels sang about him when he was born. That the shepherds and the wise men from the east recognized him as the Messiah. They didn't know that he was joyfully greeted by two aged prophets as the Messiah. Instead, they just assumed they knew everything they needed to know about Jesus. And in their mind, they believed some misinformation. You see, they had this idea of who and what the Messiah would be. They believed that he would be some kind of military leader. They believed that he'd be some kind of political leader, a king who would come and restore Israel and have this mighty kingdom that no one could overthrow. On top of that, they thought they knew Jesus. They thought they knew where he came from. And there was this popular tradition at the time that said that the Messiah would simply appear, that no one would know where how he got there. They simply believed the tradition over what the scriptures told them. Because the scripture says that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. The scripture says that the Messiah will be from the lineage of David. The scripture says that he will be born of a virgin. The scriptures foretold all of this. And they had to ignore that to fit their tradition and what they wanted from God. And that same misconception still happens today. People ignore the scriptures. They ignore the truth about Jesus. Instead, they rely on tradition. They rely on what they want to believe about Jesus and what it means to be a Christian. You know, some people view God as this malevolent being that has all these rules that you have to follow to a T or you're going to hell. And if you mess up one time, there is nothing you can do about it. Like, you better follow that line to a T or you're going to hell. That's all there is to it. That is one view that people have. On the other hand, there's this view of God as this loving creator that lets you do whatever you want as long as you've said one little prayer and you don't have to worry about anything else and you can continue living life as you've always meant. And let me tell you, neither one of those views of Jesus are true. That's not how it works.
Yes, God has rules and standards that he asks of us, but he also knows that none of us are capable of keeping the laws on our own. If we look at the Ten Commandments, how many of you would be willing to admit that you have failed in the Ten Commandments this week? What about this morning? How many of us have struggled inside of that? God understands that. He knows, yes, we have these rules and standards that he asks of us, but he knows that we can't live up to it. So what did he do? He loved us so much that he sent his own son who was able to live that perfect life that we're unable to live, to go to the cross in our place, to take our punishment in our place that we deserved, to be that perfect sacrifice. And he did that freely out of love for us. So that those of us who choose to accept that free gift that Jesus paid on the cross, not only do we one day get to go to heaven. You know, that's so often the focus is heaven. But it's not just about heaven. When we come into relationship with Jesus, we don't just get to go to heaven. We get to start doing life with him each and every day. We no longer have to face these hardships of our day-to-day life on our own, do we? We have someone who partners with us, who walks with us, who guides us and gives us direction. He wants to be in relationship. Out of his love for us, he wants to be in relationship. And the reason that we start transforming and that we don't go following after sin anymore and that we allow to be made new is because he transforms us from the inside out. He gives us a new life and he helps us flee from sin. Oh, the flesh may still have struggles at times, but when we hand it over to Jesus and what he did on that cross and we are made new, we don't have to worry about that anymore because God continues to renew us from the inside out. Yet that's not how the world has always perceived Jesus. They haven't always looked at this fullness of the gospel. And Jesus understands and understood the misconceptions that the people had back then and today. So Jesus addressed the crowd and their misconceptions, and he said in verse 28 and 29, as he was teaching in the temple, Jesus cried out, "You know me, you know where I am from, yet you have not come on my own, but the one who sent me is true, you don't know him. And I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." Yes, the people knew that Jesus grew up in Galilee. Yes, they knew that his family was, and yes, they knew that he was raised a carpenter's son. They know these little facts about Jesus. But they didn't know him. They didn't understand him. Just as many of us, we know many facts about the Bible. We can walk out into the world and they'll tell you little Bible stories. We can talk to anybody and most likely they've heard of Jesus or some. Many have grown up going to church and Sunday school. But I'm going to tell you something. Just because you know the Bible, just because you've heard some stories, just because you grew up going to church and Sunday school doesn't mean that you know Jesus. That's not what it means. Jesus reminded the people that the Father is the one who sent him and that he had a divine origin and a divine mission. This is important for us to understand, not just where Jesus came from, but from where he came from and whom he came from. That he was not just the man that showed up one day, but he was sent by his heavenly Father. And all of this knowledge and understanding that they thought they had amounted to nothing when they didn't know Jesus. Because they didn't understand God himself. They didn't understand their own text that had been handed down for generations. And this is nothing new. We have the same problem in our world today where we have this desire of who we want Jesus to be. We have this idea in our mind of who we want Jesus to be and who Jesus is. And we will often do some serious mental gymnastics to try to prove that Jesus is the person we want him to be instead of allowing the scriptures to say who he is. And instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and show us who Jesus is. You know, we have so much information available today to us. I mean, right at our fingertips. We can pull out our smartphones and we can Google something, and we can have information in the matter of seconds, can't we? Like, if you have a question, you want to learn how to change the oil in your car, pull out your phone, Google it. It'll show you a 30-minute video on how to do the entire thing. You want to change out a light switch? Google it. It'll show you how to do that entire thing. The amount of information that is available to us is crazy. In Jesus' time, the people, if they wanted answers, they had to go to the rabbis, the teachers. They'd have to search the text. It took a long time to find answers. We now can find the answer in, well, Google used to tell you how fast they found the search result. I think they've taken that away because it's under a second that they can provide all the answers according to them. The problem is, though, Google gives us the world's answers. It doesn't give us God's answers. When we build our faith on our wants and desires of who we want God to be, when we build our faith on the world's answers, I'm going to tell you right now, it will fail us every time. And it will disappoint us every time. God calls us to be different, to have a life as a believer in Christ. He calls us to have a transformed life. He calls us, we're called to be in the world, not of the world. We are to be in our community. Doesn't mean we have to act like our community. We are called to be different, and we're called to do it God's way. And after Jesus had challenged the crowd with his answers, it tells us in verse 30, then they tried to seize him, yet no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. As you can imagine, as it happened over and over again, Jesus' words were not necessarily something that made him popular with everybody. It's the same thing for us. When we stand up for the gospel truth, when we stand up for what the Word of God says, it doesn't necessarily make us popular with everybody, does it? And in that moment, Jesus' words upset some people, and they tried to spontaneously grab him, but they were unable to because his time had yet not come for the cross. But we should take courage inside of this moment. Even though many there had rejected Jesus, even though many wanted to put him in jail, it tells us in verse 31, however, many from the crowd believed in him and said, when the Messiah comes, he wouldn't perform more signs than this man has done, will he? You see, just as the people were rejecting Jesus, there was many in the crowd who also believed in him. Not everybody's going to believe us when we tell them about Jesus. Not everybody's going to want to listen. They're going to continue to look for Jesus that they want. They're going to continue to look for the Jesus that they desire, and they're not going to look for the Jesus that actually existed. They're not going to look for the one that the scriptures tell us about. And not everybody who's even in church is going to accept Jesus. Instead, they're going to look for somebody else who tells them what they want it to be. They're going to look for that person that fits what they want God to be. But there will be many who will listen. And as the crowd was speaking and the leaders discovered how many people were starting to believe what Jesus was saying, it says in verse 32, the Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things about him. And so the chief priests and the Pharisees sent servants to arrest him. The Pharisees knew that if they didn't act soon, Jesus was going to take away the people from them. The power and authority they had over the people were going to be gone. And so they sent people out to arrest Jesus. And Jesus responded in 33 and 34. I am only with you for a short time, then I'm going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. You know, at this point in Jesus' ministry, he's only 6 months from going to the cross. 6 months from this event, he will be whipped and he will be put up on that cross. And Jesus knew no one would take his life until his time had come and his time to return to the Heavenly Father. And that statement that he made was also a calm warning to those that were plotting against him. That no matter how that much they wanted to paint Jesus as this bad person, no matter how they wanted to make Jesus look, their plan would not succeed. And when Jesus said, you will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am going, you cannot come. What Jesus is saying is, you will look for the Messiah, but you will not find him. You will seek God, but you will not understand him. Your unbelief has rendered you unable to understand who I am. That's a warning to the Pharisees. You see, when we try to paint God into this picture of who we want him to be, when we try to make God who we want him to be, we will never find him. It's not until we're willing to die to ourselves and look to King Jesus and allow him to transform us from the inside out will we begin to understand who God is and what he's called each of us to be. Oh, we can go through the religious movements. We can do all the religious stuff. We can say some prayers. We can sing some songs. We can show up on Sunday mornings. We can even be baptized. But none of those things matter if our hearts aren't towards God. None of those things matter if we don't recognize that Jesus is Lord of our lives. This is not until we put our lives in his hands and trust him to make us new from the inside out will we learn who the Messiah is. You know, when Jesus said, "You will look, but you will not find me. Where I'm going, you cannot come." That is the exact opposite of what he tells the disciples. He tells the disciples in John 14, he tells the disciples that they know where he's going and they know how to get there. And it's because the disciples know who Jesus is. They weren't resting on their own understanding. Instead, they were looking to Jesus himself. And when we don't look to Jesus, we become like the Pharisees. And we don't understand what Jesus is saying inside of this moment. In fact, the Pharisees respond in 35 and 36. When the Jews said to one another, "Where does he intend to go that we won't find him?" He doesn't intend to go to the Jewish people dispersed among the Greeks and teach the Greeks, does he? What is this remark he made? "You will look for me and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come." They missed it all because they refused to open their hearts and minds and be transformed. Instead, they just kept their eyes on where they wants and desires were and who they wanted the Messiah to be. Here they had the long-awaited Messiah standing in front of them, knocking on their door, and they refused to answer it. I pray this morning that's not you. That you look to Jesus and you look to God's word, and that you don't try and make God who you want him to be. Instead, you allow him to transform you from the inside out, to give you a new mind and a new heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the texts that you gave us and the examples you gave us in your Son, Jesus. Lord, may we search our hearts and minds today. May we process what we hold to. Lord, may our views of you line up with your word and who you are and not our own wants and desires. Father, may we put our own self aside and let you make us new from the inside out, to transform us. Lord, we thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. is good. As you guys go out this week, may examine your hearts and your minds. Are you trying to make Jesus who you want him to be? Or are you allowing him to be the Lord of your life, who he is called to be? God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.